My guest today is Josef Čermák, a very sprightly 88-year-old Czech. He was born in 1924 in a small village called Skuri, just outside of Prague. He studied law, and in 1949 he emigrated to Canada, and he's lived here ever since. He's served as the president of the Czech and Slovak Association of Canada.
And Sokol Canada.
Sokol Canada.
President, yes.
Okay, and he's also the author of a number of books, including It All Began with Prince Rupert, The Story of Czechs and Slovaks in Canada, which is self-explanatory. So thank you very much for joining us, Mr. Čermák.
Thank you.
So you were 25 when you left...
24.
24 when you left Czechoslovakia, and that was obviously a very turbulent period. The communists had taken over, and...
Yes.
Even before that, you had participated in anti-communist demonstrations. So why were you anti-communist at a time when no one really knew whether communism might actually be a good idea?
Well, actually, most of us who were interested at all what was happening in the world had a very good idea of what was happening in Russia. You know, the communism didn't start in 1948. It started in 1970. And the fruits of it were so horrible that anyone who paid any attention to it just couldn't do anything but hate it.
And you were a young student at the time, or a young lawyer? Is that
I was
right?
A young student. I didn't quite finish.
And before that, you spent several years locked away in a labor camp during the Second
World
War?
It was during the Nazi.
Why did they lock you away?
Well, you see, when we graduated from high school, there was two alternatives. Either go and study at German universities or go to forced labor camps. From my class, for example, not a single student volunteered to go to Germany. It was absolutely unanimous, so all of us went to some sort of labor camp.
And that was like an official policy to either, I guess, Germanify you or use you as labor. And do you have memories of what it was like to live in Nazi-occupied Czechoslovakia?
Yes, I remember such moments, for example, as Heydrich. Because I was the first labor camp I worked in was in Kladno. And not very far from that is the village Lidice. And when Heydrich was killed in Prague.
I should explain, he was the Nazi overseer appointed by Hitler to...
He was the so-called protector. He was the head of the Nazi government in Bohemia and Moravia, as they call it. And the Gestapo just went completely berserk. They arrested people, they massacred people. In the end, they killed all the men in the village Lidice, took all the women and children and sent them to Germany. It was a horrible time.
This was in retaliation for the assassination of Heydrich by two... British-trained Czechs who
That's
were parachuted
right.
in.
Correct.
Was the death of Heydrich something that raised the spirits of Czechs? Did they believe that something good may come of this, or was there just terror?
Certainly, if you imagine the atmosphere of complete fear, and the Nazis seem to be almost gods in their power, and here come two guys, jump from the sky, and kill their leader in Prague, on a street of Prague, that was a huge shock. And I think it simply convinced people that the Germans are not unbeatable.
And then several years later, the uprising, when it was clear that the Nazi regime was crumbling and Czechs took to the streets to sort of kick out the last remnants of the Nazis.
As you know, actually it started in Slovakia. It was the uprising there, and there was really quite a lot of fighting there. And there were Czechs there and, you know, everybody else. And the Russians, I understand, especially these people, they were prisoners drafted in the army. Behind them were another Russian elite soldiers with weapons to kill them if they didn't move. In front, there were the Germans. And so they really suffered like pigs, obviously, in the Russian concentration camp and now in the army. So I had a very great deal of compassion for them because in the first place, they contributed a great deal to the victory over the Nazis. The war could have been won without them, I don't know.
So what percentage of people viewed the Red Army as liberators, and what percent were afraid that this was the beginning of another occupation?
I think that probably, because the Nazis were so horrible, a great number of people probably believed that the Soviets would bring some sort of freedom, a degree of freedom at least. And don't forget that in the previous centuries, there were great love for Russia, Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and all these people. There were gods for Czechs too. So there was always great Slavic sentiment in the Czech people. And also because it was, I think, closer to the socialist ideas. If you take, for example, the leading Czech poets, people like Hora, Walker, Seifert, in the early days of their lives, they were all members of Communist Party. And only when they saw what was happening in Russia have they switched usually to social democracy.
And how did they see such things? Because we assume today with internet and 24-hour cable news that you can always find out things, but obviously finding out things about Soviet Russia at the time wasn't that easy, was it?
No, it wasn't, but you could listen to radio. And we listened to Radio London during the Nazi era. And that was actually punished by death if they caught you. So, you know, if you wanted to, and don't forget, the Czech legionaries were in Russia in the 1917, 18, and so on. And they actually fought the communist army. People in our country, if they wanted to listen, they knew. But here I think what really caused it was that the 5 years of Nazism was so horrible that people were prepared to believe almost anything would be better.
But for you, your whatever illusions you may have had didn't last very long. You left Czechoslovakia in 1949, which was a year after the communist putsch of Clement Gottwald. So what made you leave? What made you think that this is a place you cannot live in?
The last thing that made me leave probably was that when Beneš died, I and several friends went to Prague, and all of us had a little black strips in our jackets, and that was sort of sign of mourning, and we were all arrested. And we spent, I don't know, 2 weeks or 3 weeks in prison. When I left, I knew that I had actually in me the resistance to communism, as what I knew about it, was so strong that I knew that it would have to kill me. Because I have a stupid nature which simply refuses to say yes if I know the answer is no. And the other reason, which many of us have finally for leaving, we felt that Russia, the Soviet Union, may push westward. And we didn't want to be part of the Soviet army. And we thought if the war should come, we would like to join the English or the French or the American army. So that was the other reason for it.
And how did you get to West Germany? This was before, I guess, the Iron Curtain fully...
Yeah, what happened was that we crawled in the West Germany across the border. And once we were there, they took us, usually they were the American soldiers, you know, in the area. So that was, then it was very easy.
It was just open forest or something.
It was, because what happened to you, they caught you at a border, and they sent you to a camp, DP camp is what they call it, displaced persons camp.
So you've lived in Canada since 1949, and from 1949 to 1989, you kept a very close eye on events in Czechoslovakia. What was that like, watching the dark period of the 50s, the hope of the 60s, normalization of the 70s?
I'll tell you one thing. It looked extremely hopeless until 1968. In the spring in 1968, a group of us, political refugees in the proper sense, got together, and they said, you know, one of us should go and have a look. So they selected me. So I applied to the communist embassy for visa. And I said in my application, I said, look, I left Czechoslovakia because I cannot live under communism. But I do have some connections in this country, and it may not be wise for you to let me in and then arrest me. It might just create problems for you. I assure you that I have the same feelings now about religion. So it was a long silence, and then I got it. So I went there actually in July.
1968, that was the first time you'd been there since 49.
That's right, the only time I was there. And that was really fascinating. I visited Mrs. Beneš, and she was extremely optimistic. She felt that, you know, that the young generation of politicians, they had they knew what they were doing, you know, and so on. I also met Vaculík. Vaculík was the author of the 2000 Awards, as you know. And his father was one of the founders of the Communist Party. And when I saw him, he said, I just came from Černanadizo, where the meeting took place between Brezhnev, Dubček, and the rest of it, where actually the fate of Czechoslovakia was sealed. And this guy, Vaculík, told me, I asked him, well, what do you think? And he said, it hangs on a very thin string. And then he told me one very fascinating thing, and that was his comment on Dubček. He said, because Dubček was educated in Russia, at least part of his comrades in the party, thought that he was an expert, that he knew what would happen. And he convinced them that the Russians would not intervene. That's such a tragic situation, when the first one who they got when they marched into Prague was Dubček. You know, they took them all to Moscow in August.
In 2005, you published the book It All Began with Prince Rupert, and listing through it, you can see that there are many Czechs who came here and made a successful life for themselves. A lot of these people, they find it difficult to return. Post-communist Czechoslovakia, no one returns really, do they?
Few did, and some of them came back again to Canada. I remember Kvoreský's comment. He said, well, if I went to Czechoslovakia today, I would be an exile there.
And you wrote in your book, this was 7 years ago, that you were blessed with good health and your 88th birthday is coming up, so you're still going strong, you still feel good?
I feel good, and actually I still appear in place. We are going to have a place, it's called Malostranské povídky, Nerudas. And it's, of course, it wasn't written as a play, but it's going to be a musical comedy.
Oh, you're going to be acting in it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. There you go. That says it all.
I love theater, so it's...
All right, Jozef Čermák, thank you very much for joining us.
Toronto-based Czech patriot Jozef Čermák was Dominic Yoon's guest in this edition of One on One.